All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, award-winning journalist Joe McNally, a radio personality and all great-looking guy and all those other things. from, you know, Charlottesville, Virginia. You know, Joe, I want to talk now about what is happening that I think is really important that people need to hear the truth about, and that's inflation. You know, if you didn't know any better, if people didn't know any better, they would believe that Joe Biden single-handedly is the reason that that inflation is happening, even though it's all over the world.
Yeah.
And yet, if you listen to people on the right, they're blaming Joe Biden. He's the reason that the gas prices are what they are. Never mind that the gas prices are high all over the world because the competition for the oil that's there is high. Never mind that, Joe, that, you know, we've got a problem with getting products into this country. That's still a major problem. Never mind that there's a war going on in Ukraine that is impacting and affecting everything. If you don't know that, then you'll believe what the people on the right are saying. And it was only a matter of time. No growth continues forever. There's been a tremendous growth in this economy since Barack Obama came in and turned around a floundering economy under then George Bush Jr. People forget all of those things, Joe, when they gave Donald Trump credit for the economy, the growth of the economy, which really he was there because of what President Barack Obama did. He inherited that horrible situation from George Bush, turned that around, and then Donald Trump came in and rode the coattails of that. But to now blame Joe Biden, and there are even people, I think, on the left who don't know any better, Joe, who are saying it's Joe Biden, he's too old, he's the reason that the gasoline price, straighten things out for us, Joel, if you will, please.
Well, I'll do my best. Actually, you know, everything you say is true, but it's more than that too, of course. The truth of the matter is, you know, presidents have rather limited power over the economy. But the amazing thing about Joe Biden's presidency, and I don't think he's ever gotten enough credit for this, was that you're right that the economy turned around under Barack Obama and was continuing to be good into Trump's term until he destroyed it again. He destroyed it by
the tax, giving the big tax breaks.
He destroyed it. There was the big tax break for the richest people in America. Yes. But even after that, it was his mishandling of the pandemic that shut down the entire economy again. His mishandling and not only just spreading ignorance about the pandemic, denying that there was a pandemic, denying that people were dying of the pandemic, and because he didn't want to get blamed for people dying, he didn't do anything about it. He tried to pretend that it was going to just magically go away any time. The Republicans and the Democrats did the right thing by funding vaccine creation, by putting a massive amount of money into vaccine creation. That was a bipartisan effort from Democrats and Republicans. That was exactly the right thing to do. But then the Republican president did exactly the wrong thing by not setting up any nationwide distribution of the vaccine that was created under his presidency by Democrats and Republicans. who funded it. He instead turned it over to the states. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. And even worse than that, he discouraged Republicans from getting vaccinated, for God's sake. And that destroyed the U.S. economy. Okay? Now, Joe Biden came along. Not only did he finally create a nationwide distribution of those vaccines, but he started putting money into job creation, and he created the most successful economy that America, the strongest growth of the economy, the fastest recovery from a recession that was caused by the pandemic shutting down the economy. And for a year and a half already, Joe Biden has created more jobs in a shorter amount of time than has ever happened. Okay, now let's talk about inflation since you asked. One of the problems with inflation is when companies know that the public is expecting prices to go up and record inflation, it is easy for them to increase prices. It is much easier for them to increase prices if the public says, well, prices are going up all the time. And here's the big problem about Republicans criticizing inflation under Joe Biden. They have no plan to do anything right about inflation. Right. Mitch McConnell has said, elect us to Congress and the Senate, and we'll tell you what we're going to do about inflation. But there is no plan. In fact, there's worse than no plan. There's, in fact, continuing support for huge tax breaks for the oil companies who are now making record profits. And when you hear Republicans ever talk about what they're going to do about inflation, guess what you hear from them? Drill, baby, drill. We have to drill more oil, and we have to give lots of money to the oil companies so they can drill more oil. You know what? The oil companies do not want to drill more oil. The oil companies want to have a shortage of oil and inflation increasing the price of oil, because they are making record profits right now, still getting the tax breaks for drilling. They have thousands of permits to drill they aren't using. They aren't using it because they don't want to produce any more oil. They would have to spend money to drill more oil. So they want exactly how little oil they got, and they want to charge exorbitant prices for it, and they keep charging it because the public expects oil prices to go up, and they can say oil prices are going up under Joe Biden, and if you elect us, they won't go up. That is nonsense. That is nonsense.
You know, Joel, the last time we saw this, you and I are well aware of Jimmy Carter. And look at what happened to Jimmy Carter. I'll always say one of the greatest men. One of the greatest human beings that's ever been president of the United States.
Because he could not produce more oil, only the oil companies can do that. He was defeated after a single term. And now Donald Trump has been defeated after a single term for an even better reason. He tried to destroy the economy. He tried to destroy America. He tried to destroy democracy. And we know he would try now to lead an armed mob against the country, against the Congress of the United States, to overthrow Joe Biden's election.
So, Joe,
we have all the evidence of that.
So, Joe, we do know that the oil prices and gasoline prices aren't coming down anyway soon. You know, they'll take 10 cents off here, 12, you know.
They're not going to, you know what we could do? You know what we could do?
What's that?
We could pass a tax against the oil companies for exorbitant prices.
Yeah, I think somebody was talking about that, and it disappeared.
Many people have talked about it, but it's not going to pass in a Congress run by the where the Republicans have a filibuster. We know that they're not gonna stop price gouging by the oil companies. We can't pass that until Joe Biden has two more votes in the Democratic Senate, and we can't pass that. We certainly can't pass that if Kevin McCarthy or Jim Jordan or somebody else right. becomes House Speaker in November, because Republicans won the Congress by picking up six more seats in the Congress. And they're so cocky that they're going to win the Congress. You know what? Do you really know what that's going to mean? If it's Kevin McCarthy, House Speaker, do you realize the Speaker of the House of Representatives is third in line after the Vice President of the United States to become President of the United States if something happens to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? Do you realize how close Kevin McCarthy or Jim Jordan are to being the president of the United States? The two most ignorant men in the House of Representatives, Kevin McCarthy, who we know is as big a liar as Donald Trump. And Jim Jordan.
Who
is even worse than he is.
Yeah, he really
and
is.
And they could be that close to being the president of the United States.
And we thought Donald Trump.
You know what it would take? It would take a violent militia to take out the president of the United States and the vice president. And we know exactly who those people are.
Hey, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And my guest is Joe McNally, award-winning journalist and radio television personality from sunny Charlottesville, Virginia. But let me talk. Let's talk now about Ukraine and NATO.
Yeah.
Because there are people who, it's complex, it's complicated to know why we are engaged or involved in Ukraine, to know what NATO is, how NATO came into existence. You can't talk about what's happening right now with Ukraine and Russia without knowing why Russia and Ukraine have been at it for some time, didn't just start. You've got to know a little bit about the history going back to 1990 when, NATO memos were kind of written. Our nation has certainly supported NATO and supported the formulation of NATO. In order to, I guess, to be quite frank with you, Joel, to make sure that the USSR doesn't come back together. Yeah. And so these independent nations that were formed after USSR broke up, it was certainly to the benefit of our nation that we created and protected Europe. And all of those things came together with NATO and all of those different things. But we know that Vladimir Putin has never wanted to accept USSR coming apart and has been waiting in the wings for an opportunity to rebuild USSR.
But even before that, after World War II, it goes back much farther than that, because it goes back to the 50s and the Cold War against Russia then, and for very good reason. We helped rebuild Europe after World War II. We rebuilt Europe and through the Marshall Plan. We helped rebuild Germany, who'd been our enemy. In World War II, of course, with under Hitler, And you know, the Germany ended up getting divided, but it came back together.
Right.
It came back together, and it is now a democracy. Donald Trump doesn't know any of this stuff, of course. He knows nothing about anything. He never did. I had this theory that the only reason he liked Putin so much was because he was one of the few world leaders that Donald Trump knew who he was.
Joe, but didn't Donald Trump graduate from an Ivy League university?
Yes, he did. I mean, he did.
And you said
he still didn't know it either.
I don't know. Did we lose?
Something to Ivy League universities and get out of them. It was with real degrees and things. but it is very clear. You're right about how complicated the situation is over there. But I don't think the really important things are very complicated, to tell you the truth. Most people in this country support the freedom of Ukraine and other democracies in Europe. There's no question about that. And most people in this country recognize that Joe Biden leading Europe, playing a very important role in bringing together the countries of NATO and even when joining NATO, right on the border, another border with Russia, and saying, we want to join the defense of free Europe. We want to join the military defense of this evil man, Vladimir Putin, this evil man who, as you know, helped elect the president of the United States in this country through his disinformation right. and propaganda, which was spread by people like Ron Johnson, who actually spread KGB propaganda against Joe Biden in order to try to influence the 2020 election. But what I'm saying is everyone in this country knows that Joe Biden is doing the right
thing. You know, Joe?
Military to Ukraine.
So, Joe, why don't we do this? Can you hear me, Joe?
Yeah.
Joe, can you hear me? Joe. So, why don't we have him hang up and call back? Joe, can you hear me? Okay, so let's hang up on him, Sam, and have him call us back because we're having some technical difficulties. I don't know if it's on his end or ours, but we'll certainly have him call back. But we are at a point. He's back. All right, Joe. Joe, you're back.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Good. But you
were
saying
how long I was out there.
You were probably out for about 2 minutes or so, but not long. But clearly, we heard enough that you were saying that you believe that the majority of the people in this country support the fact that we are supporting Ukraine and so to what financial degree, Joel, do you think in the face of the fact that we're heading towards recession and there's going to be some bloodletting of the American people when this recession hits, that's going to be painful. Do you think?
I don't agree that the recession is inevitable. I believe that the actions that Joe Biden are taking now, along with the central bank,
the
Federal Reserve, what they're doing now to aggressively fight inflation, and they're doing the only things they can do:
raise the interest rates.
Yeah, raising interest rates and slowing down
control the money
slightly, but not trying to slow it down so radically that we do go into recession. And that is a very tricky thing. That is a tricky, very tricky balance. But at least you want the experts in charge. See, that's the problem The Republican Party doesn't even believe in experts. No. They don't like experts. No. They call them the elite. And Donald Trump always said that his gut was smarter than most experts. Well, he's got quite a bit of a gut, but it's not a very smart gut. And in fact, it's a very stupid gut. To tell you the truth, it is not very bright. It's been to an Ivy League college, but it's not very bright. And we do need experts in the economy. We need experts in banking. We need experts in recessions. We need experts at the helm. And what terrifies me is Republicans trying to block the experts because, you can say that's some kind of an elite class, and we don't like them because, they're smarter than we are. But believe me, we need all the expertise we can get right now in fighting the inflation, in balancing this whole thing without hurting what was the most rapid recovery from a destroyed economy than we've ever had.
Hey, Joe, hang on. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Joe McNally is still with us, and I'm glad he is. So, Joe, there certainly comes a point in time. Ukraine is no match for Russia. There's just no way possible that Ukraine is going to be able to defeat Russia. It's a flea taking on an elephant. And so certainly with the support of United States and NATO, this is not going to end soon. It is going to be a protracted struggle. And so what's your take? How far do we go? Are we going to go all in? I hear people say, well, as Russia blocks in the Black Sea the opportunity for grain and all those things to get out, maybe we need to go and blast. What is your take? How far do we go with this, Joe?
Well, I don't know how far we go, but I will say this. The American people support Ukraine and support. They don't want to send military troops, and we should not send military troops. The idea of the two nuclear powers getting in a shooting war with each other is just so abhorrent and risky for the entire world that we don't want that to happen. And that's why we want intelligent leadership in this country. And we have it. We have it. And the Republican Party, good God, we know that's not intelligent leadership. But here's what, there were people who said that Ukraine was going to be wiped out in Russia in a week. There were people who said this war was going to be over in a week or 2 weeks at the most. We got this huge power on one side and this valiant little country whose president was going to be assassinated any day by Russia, and he's still there, and Ukraine is still there, and it's going on for months. And yes, that is a protracted war, and we keep supplying them with more weaponry, and better weaponry, and better defenses, and it is really an inspirational story still. The fact that it's still going on is an inspirational story. And I don't think we have any choice about walking away. And I certainly don't think Europe has any choice about walking away because they're next and they know it. Russia, if Russia's aggression and invasion of an independent country succeeds in Ukraine, we know Poland is next. We know other countries are next. And that can't happen. And so we don't really have any choice about whether to stay. You remember after, after 20 years, it was very controversial that Joe Biden left Afghanistan, for God's sake.
Right.
Yes, what we have to do, well, I don't want to stay in Ukraine for 20 years. Don't get me wrong about that. But the fact that it has gone on for months, and I know we have short attention spans these days, but to say, oh, good God, it's just gone on so long. we can't continue this forever. Well, no, I'm not asking it to be continued forever. But I want you to know this. About a week ago, Russia defaulted on a huge debt.
$100 million.
It is suffering. It is suffering from this, and it's going to be suffering from this for a long, long time.
Joe, do you think?
I don't care if Ukraine and Russia agreed to some way to let them have some portion of Ukraine, and the war ended. That does not mean that the democracies of America, welcome Vladimir Putin and his unjustified war against an independent country, welcome them back and say, welcome back to the world. we're going to start trading with you again. We're going to restore your economy. No, Russia should be suffering from this for a long time. And the democracies of America are going to continue to make that happen.
You know, Joel, I soak in as much as I can about what's happening there. And do you think we underestimate Russia from the standpoint of the steadfastness of the people and the fact that the people historically have been willing to suffer to support,
I think just the opposite. I think we overestimate Russia because we overestimate the power of a dictator to control his country. This particular country is very badly run, not only because it's aggressive to its neighbors, but because it is run by crooks. It is frequently called a kleptocracy. That means that everyone at the top, who is wealthy, like Vladimir Putin and the oligarchs who support him, are crooks. They're basically stealing from the population. They're stealing from the population, and now the population is suffering as a result of their theft. And you know why Russia did not win this war in a week? Because their military has been stolen from. The people who were filling their own pockets actually did it through, phony contracts, funneling money from the military. When the military moved into Ukraine and they met resistance, many of them walked away and left the tanks in the fields. Many of them fled at the first resistance, and many of them also died. And those are those people are the population of Russia who have suffered mightily under this invasion, and their economy has suffered mightily. Their economy has been destroyed, and the trade, world trade, the only thing they've got going for them is selling oil. And there are still some markets in the world that are buying their oil, but there are a lot of markets that are not, and including China is actually consuming much less Russian oil than they did before the invasion. They are continuing to suffer economically as a result of this war, and the wealthy oligarchs who have made all the money and stolen all the money they're a little tired of that, you know.
So, Joe,
and we don't know how long Vladimir Putin has before they get rid of him.
So, Joe, the threats of nuclear entanglement that you hear,
it's terrifying. It's terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, it is. They taunt. You go back and you think about. We never, ever thought that we'd ever get to a point, Joe, where we would even hear any threats between Russia and the United States, understanding.
Well, you and I lived through one as well over Cuba.
Yeah, yeah.
We
the Bay of Pigs.
I was in college. I was in my freshman year in college when that happened. And when there were missiles in Cuba 90 miles away, Russian missiles aimed at us. And when they had that face-off, John Kennedy and Nikita Khrushchev, and we know there were some back-channel things going on, and there were some deals made going on that ended that without nuclear destruction.
Yeah, but Joe, there's saber-rattling going
on. What I'm saying is... that's why this is takes very careful moves on our part,
right?
And on Russia's part as well, which they're not known for very careful moves, but there are times when their own survival makes it happen.
You know, you said their own survival. Again, you're sitting in a nation, and that maybe, you know, what the people think, and you hope that in that nation that the people know the outcome. And all of the saber rattling that was being done, thank God it slowed down some over the last last 3 or 4 weeks. You don't hear Putin talking about it as much anymore, but you wonder with the Sweden and what's the other nation that just joined NATO? And Finland just joined NATO. And if ever there was a time that you would think that you would see even more saber rattling, because he made threats before it happened. Now that it's happened, you call his bluff?
We did, and
yeah, we did.
NATO did, and yeah, you'll hear a little less of that now. I believe I really do, and you know, it's giving in to people like that that allows more moves against us, and that's what I'm talking about when I say this takes intelligent leadership. And we know that right now only one party is providing intelligent leadership. That is so clear right now. I used to claim, you know, Democrats, there are some Republicans that really know what's going on. No. Right now, the ignorant, the loons are in charge of the asylum. They really are. And the Republican Party is being destroyed internally by violent, ignorant people, including one who the American people defeated by the largest vote in American history. And the fact that that man still is controlling a lot of the Republican Party is a shocking development. It really is.
You know, Joe,
Republicans cannot survive that. And they have to at some point rid themselves of the most dangerous supporters that he wanted to lead to overthrow democracy.
So, Joe, we got to go to a break. But when we come back in the last segment, give us that eternal optimism that you always have. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back. All right, And welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And you know, Joe, man, it's almost like yesterday having you on and having the dialogue and conversation with you. Takes me back to, you know, when you and I were both a little younger. But I will say this. You've always been the eternal optimist. Some of us need that eternal optimism in the face of trying times. Help us in these last few minutes understand how we can hang on to that and why we need to hang on to that.
Well, I just don't think we have any choice. I've always said, I am an optimist, not because I'm an idiot, not because I don't know what's going on, not because, I don't realize how close we are. When one of the two major political parties in America no longer believes in democracy, that is a dangerous, dangerous situation. When a man who was defeated by the largest vote in American history is still in control of a large part of the Republican Party, that is a dangerous, dangerous situation. When this country learns on live television that man not only knew just how armed and dangerous that mob was on January 6th, he knew they were armed with AR-15s. He knew they were carrying Glocks in their belt because he was told all of those things on that day. And he said he wanted those people to be allowed into his crowd because he always likes big crowds at his speeches. And he said, those are my people. They're not here to hurt me. No, they were there to hurt and murder the Vice President of the United States, an extremely conservative Christian evangelical. They were there to murder Nancy Pelosi. They were there to murder Mitt Romney. They were there to tear to shreds any police officers who got in their way. They beat them in unconscious. They beat them to the point of brain damage. And he knew all of that. And he wanted to be there for it. He wanted to be the leader. He wanted to lead his mob. There was a discussion, would he give a speech outside the Capitol before they broke in? Or should he go in with the mob and invade the joint session of Congress that was supposed to certify Joe Biden's election, to go in with a violent armed mob and stop the certification of Joe Biden's election? That was all discussed. And there's in public testimony, we learned that all took place. He knew how he knew all the weapons they were carrying, and he wanted to be there with them. Now, to have a person like that still be a political candidate in this country is shocking. And here's my optimism. When America knows that, I am optimistic that this country is smart enough to know that person can never get within states of the presidency, not even in the Oval Office itself again, and the America cannot support a political party that supports that man. And that's why I think that it's going to have an effect in November. It's going to have an effect in 2024. It's going to have an effect until the Republican Party does what the Democratic Party did during the Civil Rights Movement. Get rid of the bigots, get rid of the haters, get rid of the violent people in your party. That's what Democrats did during the Civil Rights Movement in the 1960s. And that's what Republicans have to do now before they can be a legitimate American political party. We cannot have them under control of a man who wanted to take a violent mob into the Capitol and overthrow democracy.
You know, Joel, you really put it in perspective so well. But I still, the fact that there's even a chance whatsoever that this man can even, why are we even having a conversation about him? You know what I mean? I mean, the fact that he
is. I do know what you mean. But my only choice is we either keep fighting or we give up. And I'm never going to stop fighting it. And you're never going to stop fighting that. I know that. And every decent, intelligent person in this country has to never stop fighting that until it is unbelievable to me that anyone would ever express those kinds of opinions. But they are today, and they are leaders of the Republican Party.
You know, Joel, the other part of this is there have been bigger things that we've had to get over in the history of this nation, right?
I mean,
from that perspective.
Now you're starting to sound off.
I know. well, but it's because it's true. You know, historically, we've gotten over. And so Donald Trump isn't anywhere near as powerful as I guess we make him out to be, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
he is just a poisoned person.
I do not believe he is electable in 2024. He simply isn't, because he would turn out so many Democrats, independents, and intelligent Republicans to prevent that he could not be a viable candidate. I really believe that. But I can't prove it, but I really believe it. And I'm going to believe it until I'm proven wrong. Now, of course, I've been wrong before. I was convinced he could not be elected, and he was. And it's an embarrassment of this country. But now that the country knows the result, I cannot believe they would ever do it again.
You know, Joe, it is at the root of it, because the nation could not stand that again, right? I mean,
that's right. He
would lead us into a new civil war.
I hear people say that these days, but I don't believe a civil war is possible, because in every single red state throughout the South, who were the Democratic states throughout the South during the Civil Rights Movement. And now that they're the Republican states throughout the South in the anti-civil rights movement that Trump has led. In every single, I don't care how far right the state is, there are decent people who support democracy,
right,
who are not going to live in those states under an anti-democracy, authoritarian dictatorship by an ignorant person like Donald Trump.
Well, Joe, thank you as always. I really, truly.
Well, I'm starting to think that maybe you're coming around and being a little more optimistic.
I think
cynicism is the enemy.
Well, then I got to stop hanging around you if that's the case. hey, thank you, Joel. I really appreciate it. It's always great having you on. Tell your lovely bride I said hello, and we'll do it again.
Farewell.
All right.
Looking
bye-bye. All right. Got
to
go. Thank everybody who made the show go. See you later.